Welcome to the Small Business Podcast with David Michaels and Daniel Miller. This week, we're going to be talking about social media. Now, that may be the buzzword of the week, the year, maybe buzzword of 2010, and we just want to go ahead and track down some of the ways that small businesses can use social media to make things happen. But first, David, how are you doing?
Daniel, I am fantastic. How about you?
It's good. I'm doing good. It is currently 10:22 at night, so that's basically the right time for us to be recording a show. And I just wanted to tell you, good day.
It's been a great day. I've been working out at the campus gym more and riding my bike around and eating healthy. It just feels great.
Well, let me just point out something real quick for the growing entrepreneur. Is that one of the best things you can do is go and find a workout routine so you can go work out at the gym or just work out by running or something because it's very good for you. It clears your head, makes you feel a little more focused, your body more...
Helps you get some stress out of your system. Yeah, everything.
Exactly. So I usually recommend people who are entrepreneurs, if they need to have some help, to go and definitely focus on that because that is a very key thing to be doing. But with that, let's talk about some social media. David, have you heard of a thing called Twitter?
Twitter. Yes, I've heard something about that, but what is it, Daniel?
Well, Twitter is an international sensation now that allows you to publish from your cell phone directly onto the web, and then everyone can follow you. Basically, if you can imagine a bird, and a bird sends out a warble, everyone who wants to track that warble can then track that warble. Everyone who doesn't care... They don't have to care about that warble. Now, that may seem an oversimplification of it, but it's pretty a neat thing. Let's say, David, you start up a Twitter account. By the way, what's your Twitter account so we can give that to people?
I'm twitter.com/spiritualsmarts.
Very good. See how we're advertising that now? Now, the way it works is that David then goes on to his Spiritual Smarts Twitter, and maybe he has something smart to say. What would you have smart to say, David?
Usually I put up inspirational quotes, or I let them know when a new blog post is out, or if I'm doing a special sale on one of my products, I might give all my Twitter followers a special coupon code, an exclusive, you know, it's like, because you follow me on Twitter, you get this coupon, no one else has it.
And that's where we need to throw one extra thing in there. David has a lot more than 144 characters. You're only allowed to post on there 144 characters for every single time you Twitter.
140.
David is correcting me. That's what he can point out at his smart little comment. So let's say David's going to Twitter. You can only have 140 characters on Twitter. He can then send that out to people. Now, some people may say David's the smartest person in the whole wide world.
Some may. Right? Yeah, that would be very flattering.
And so they say, hi, I would like to follow whatever David is talking about. And so they would go ahead and become a follower of David, which is a very weird concept when you think about it. And so they follow
David. It sounds like you're starting a cult.
Think about how weird that is when you think about that. I'll let you sit in that one. So then they follow you. And so then you can follow other people. And then you basically have an entire network of people trying to follow you. And then certain people in your group, if they find something that you say interesting, they'll tweet back. I'm sorry. They will Twitter back to you.
No, you had it right. It's called tweeting. So... actually, you know, come to think of it, I've talked with some people, young and old, that really have no idea what Twitter is. Let me take a step back and explain it a different way, just in case they're still lost for some reason. Think of it like, because it's a whole bunch of people all updating each other at the same time, and it's about like a, you ever go to like a pet store and you see those little parakeets all in the cage and they're flying around and chirping like crazy? Well, Twitter sometimes is like that with text. A lot of it going back and forth, and it's just a crazy mess. But if you know what you're doing, it's actually pretty simple and clean to navigate around. Basically, you log in either, like Daniel said, you can send an update from your cell phone, you can log in from the website. There's all kinds of ways of doing it now. And you have 140 characters. That means letters and spaces. So everything, punctuation, you are limited to 140 of it, period. Anything more, it won't fit, it won't send. So people get really creative getting shorthand and crunching words and replacing words with numbers. Like instead of saying four, they say the number four. So things like that. Instead of spelling out one, they use a number one. Little tricks. Tips and tricks out there for you.
Come up with your original methodology, you might want to say something other than spelling four, you just use the number four.
Well, no, like say,
David, it's a joke.
The FOR for, but whatever. Okay, yeah, I'm working on the fly here. Okay, so
David, what
people
you really
do
meant
is
to say was what, your very smart comment that you made prior to the show, which was you can't take the fact that people are abbreviating stuff like love to LV and other things like that. I know you were talking about it before the show. It's just stage fright.
I do. I get nervous. I had this happen the other day where I was totally prepared, and then it came my turn to talk, and my brain just like froze up, and I only said like half of what I was supposed to. It was just, it's embarrassing. But
well,
anyways,
you do
so
this improv stuff on here, so that way you didn't remember just one quarter.
Exactly. So back to Twitter. You can post your updates, your announcements, anything you want to say up to 140 characters all day long. But no one is going to hear it or find out unless they follow you. And following is just like subscribing. They click a button, and now when they log into Twitter, they see your postings show up on their page. That's all it is, plain and simple. Now.
Wow, that's really easy.
Yeah, see? And
so let's just take it from a small business point
right,
of view.
Right, how do we use this to make money?
You use it to – you basically gave it to us all because you're one of the smartest people in the world. And that you went and pointed out, I tell my customers or I tell people who follow me, when there's a discount, I give them a special coupon. You give them an incentive to follow you.
Exactly. And you know, a lot of people follow just for, like, the inspirational quotes because I'm not – some people are on there and they're like, oh, I just got home from work or I'm so bored or I just finished going to the bathroom or I'm doing nothing but watching TV. People sometimes – because you can write anything you want. Sometimes people write really boring things on there. They don't get very many followers. They get a couple friends who will follow them out of obligation, I think. And they won't read it anyway. So give people something that's interesting to read. Like I use inspirational quotes. Other people give like tips and tricks. Other people will give news announcements or anything that would be interesting to others. Give them a reason to follow you. And if all you're doing is advertising, you'll get some people to follow because, you know, maybe they want to get a special deal or something, or they really like you or your business, but you're not going to get a whole lot of people. If you want to grow it, give them something else, extra value. And the interesting thing is it's more than just giving announcements and people receiving those announcements. You can also start to interact and talk back and forth. So they can reply to one of your posts. And then you can reply back to them either privately through a direct message or publicly so everyone can see. So if you want to answer maybe like a common question, you can do that. And they'll see it because they're following you. And anyone else who follows you will see that same answer. So there's different ways of doing this. But if you want to keep it just private one-on-one, you can do that too. It's really good to engage your followers because it, A, makes them want to follow you more because they're building connection with you now. They're building a relationship. It also makes it more interesting because you're not just a commercial advertising to them all day long. Would you agree, Daniel?
I would agree absolutely. And it's one of those things that you need to think about who your customer or who you're advertising – sorry, not advertising – who you're talking to.
Right.
The human being can only take a certain amount of advertisements before they say, I need to cut these advertisements out. So if you do that, you need to understand where that threshold is. You send a coupon maybe once a month. Maybe once a week, what is that threshold? And so as a result, once you identify what that threshold is, you can keep it around that area. But you have to be cognizant of that.
Yep. And just, you know, put yourself in their shoes. Think about all the ads you're exposed to all day long, especially on the internet, which is drowning in advertisements. You want to, you know, here's another thing we can. So related to social marketing is people can sign up on your email list to get announcements. A lot of time people say, hey, subscribe to my email list to get the top 10 tips you need to know to get the most out of your product or something like that. And people will sign up for that, and now you can advertise to them all the time. And some people do it once a week, once a month, once a day, several times a day. It gets ridiculous. I actually started unsubscribing from all those because it became too much, and all they were doing was advertising. They were giving me basic cheap tips and nothing I felt was real value worth reading, because really all they're doing is giving me a little teaser to want to go to their website and actually buy their product, and I wasn't satisfied with that, so I unsubscribed from them all. So if you give people a reason to subscribe and stay subscribed to whatever you are using to market.
That's a very good point, David. I have a number of places where I've went and bought stuff online, and they've subscribed me automatically, and I didn't really want to do that to their email marketing things. And if you go and look online, you will find many, many people who say, get an email newsletter, engage the customer. And we'll take it from both sides. The first part, it's great for a small business because they don't forget you. It costs next to nothing to do an email newsletter. And you can track results basically by giving everybody an individual code and say, hey, David, you're customer 11111101.
Yes.
And if customer 11111101 goes and logs online, you say, oh, my newsletter worked. What did it work on that? And so basically you set up an email marketing system. Now, for the Ranger Tire Paint, I actually have on Shopify the ability to let customers select to be marketed to and not to be select marketed to.
Yeah,
and
one I have the same thing.
What's that?
I have the same thing. Whenever someone checks out something, they create an account in my shopping cart. At the bottom, when they're registering, it says, you know, do you want to subscribe to the newsletter to get, like, exclusive coupons and special deals? They can check a box, you know, yes or no.
And that's what was amusing to me, is that mine is actually checked to off. So you actually have to push the check mark to become subscribed. Most other places have it the other way around. And I thought after looking at that, there's no way I'd ever get anybody sign up to actually agree to email marketing. But you know what? They do.
Yeah.
And it's so weird.
They do. And that's what we call opt-in marketing. They're opting in to receive your newsletter.
Well, the people who opt in, I'm amused by them.
Yep.
Because I would not have thought anybody would opt in to receiving more email. Maybe they just need to make sure they have an email account that people go and sign up for. Well, what that also does for your email marketing is that if you have to go and make sure that you're on the forefront of the customer's mind, you need to have a product that maybe every 6 months they need to buy it again. So what you do is you basically say, hey, I will keep in their forefront so that way they never forget the idea of Ranger Tire Paint, Two Deck Entertainment, or Spiritual Smarts. And so doing so, I will make sure that whenever they have free available money, they can go ahead and spend some of it on me.
Right, right. Yeah, you always want to not annoy your customers, but stay fresh in their mind. That's, you know, marketing 101.
So somewhere in between there to make sure that they don't flip out. I would say that it probably about once every 2 weeks if you can come up with something interesting to the customers. And now I'm going to start doing an email newsletter, and I don't know exactly what I'm going to do for it, but that's what I've been hesitant on actually committing to it. But what I'm trying to figure out is coming up with like a high-end newsletter where I basically do certain things with Excel spreadsheets and other things and tell people, hey, look, you want to buy these Excel spreadsheets, why don't you go ahead and just go ahead and log on there and download them? And you can download them for a fee, and you can have these really cool spreadsheets that we put together from Ranger Labs. Now, how we make that happen is just basically by pulling data off the web and making them together. And yeah. So I just need to find a reason of why to engage the customer and what to provide them. So in this case, I'm making Excel spreadsheets from data, and then they can download and buy them from that.
Mm-hmm. Now, personally, this is my philosophy, just for a little contrast and comparison here. I think email marketing is dead.
Really?
Yep, because it's been out for a while. There are far better, more engaging, more interesting, more user-controlled methods. User-controlled meaning they pick when they want to receive information. Email, it's like when you send it, they get it. They have no control over when it comes. And it requires them to log into something where all they can do is read. They log into a separate thing that's called their inbox, their email account, and all they're doing is they're reading. Daniel, here's an example. When was the last time you received a personal email from a friend?
Sorry, David. I don't mean to be the downer on this, and I know you do it all the time and I yell at you, but I have to do it to you. I received just one 4 minutes ago.
Well, all right. Congratulations. I'm happy for you.
But
for me,
ask the next question.
Before
that email, when was the last time you got an email?
All right, when was the last time?
A month ago.
Exactly. You occasionally friends will send an email, but it's few and far between. And you want something your customers are checking more often than that. Where are they going? They're going to places like Facebook, MySpace, the blogosphere, LinkedIn. They're browsing using all kinds. They're on YouTube. They're all over the internet, everywhere else that they can do other things besides read emails at. You can read emails on Facebook and MySpace, But you can also instant message chat with your friends. You can look at photos. You can play games. You can write a blog yourself and update to your friends how you're doing. There's lots you can do there, which is why people spend hours and hours and hours on Facebook. There is a time warp when you go to these sites, because like you log in, you're like, oh, I'm just going to check my Facebook real quick. And next thing you know, it's 3 hours later and you've done nothing with your life.
Well, I don't have a problem keep your with Farmville fans up.
Well, you got Farmville, and I'm playing this one on Facebook called Be a Tycoon, which simulates a stock market or investing in businesses. So you actually look at little charts and graphs and see where it's trending, if it's going up or down. You decide when you buy it, and then you can sell it for a profit later, and all this kind of stuff. It's a fun little investing game. And I started with, I don't know what you start with, like $1 million or something. I'm now, today I hit the $50 billion mark.
Wow, congratulations.
Yeah, it's fun. But, I mean, I've been playing this game for, I don't know, a year? Maybe longer? I don't know. But my point is, you want to be connecting with your customers there, because that's where they are, that's where they're having fun, that's where they're looking for information and stuff to do. And you can still email them on Facebook. You can create a Facebook fan page like we do. Look up the Small Business Podcast on Facebook, and you can become our fan and meet us there. You can start a Facebook group, which isn't a fan page. It's a little more interactive, I guess. I'm not really sure what the fundamental differences are, to be honest. And
you really sell this.
But you can market to everyone who subscribes to your fan page or subscribes to your group and send out a mass email to just those people. So now you've killed several birds in one stone. You have a page up there that has photos, that has information, that has blogs, that has more about our company and contact information, interacting with the customers, customers interacting with each other, sharing reviews and tips and things like that. And you can mass email market to them through that. You don't need their actual email address anymore. I think email's on its way out, especially with things like, in addition to Twitter and Facebook and MySpace, now there's Google Wave and text messaging. No one needs to actually email anyone anymore. But that's just my opinion.
Well, we have a couple ways of looking at that. Let's. I want to talk about the social media from that point of view in a minute. We may have to do that next week, and this may be a two-parter. I apologize to everybody for that in advance. But what I'm trying to get at is, think about the email. I think that's, you may be right, David. My only concern is where do we go from there? Because if you see what happened with MySpace, and then you see what's happening with Facebook, people are transitioning away from MySpace and onto Facebook slowly.
Uh-huh.
Would you agree with that?
Oh, totally. Many of my peers admit to haven't been on Facebook in MySpace in 6 or more months. I haven't been on MySpace in forever. Right. I used to be on it every day.
Right. Thank you.
Now I'm on Facebook every day. So,
but the point is that we've transitioned away from one media site to another media site.
Right.
And while email may not be dead, that's how most companies communicate right now. And as long as the companies keep communicating, that's where you're going to worry about. So then what we're looking at is we're seeing a branching off into two different levels of communication. If you want to get to the customer at his workplace, and I'll let you in on a little secret. I have a lot of customers who actually order products from their workplace email. If you want to get to the customer from their workplace email address, you do it that way. But if they're on their free time, and when they're – I don't understand how they're using their email address for that. But if they're on their free time, then you might want to consider MySpace or Facebook, because that's where people are using, and this is a word that the buzzword marketers like to hear, is expendable income. That's where people like to use their expendable income, and in case of David, time warp income too. So then with the email marketing, if you want to get directly to the customer who's at work, you can probably use that, because those people use email. And you can do that with cell phones, too, if you know how to work around that system. And then you can also do it to where you can email any customer. So what we're looking at is a branching off, where if you're trying to get to the business customer, a person who's in business or is working in business, then, yeah, you probably should have an email newsletter. If you're trying to get to the person on their free time to sell them something, I don't know. David, what do you want to sell them?
my personal development CDs.
If you're trying to sell someone a personal development CD when they have to listen to it on their free time and browse the site on their free time, then you're probably best off going the route of
social marketing.
Social media marketing or something to that effect, where you get onto Facebook or MySpace and develop a fan following and create a buzz around yourself. And that's a good point about the whole thing, David, is that email, I don't know if you've had to set up an email account, has definitely gone the way of Gmail, Hotmail, and Yahoo. You don't see many people who have personalized email accounts anymore, like what I have for my email account.
True. Even my business email, you know, if you write to, like, Tudeck Entertainment's main email address is go@tudeck.com.
Right.
That actually forwards directly to my Gmail account, because that way I only have one account to check, and I'm already checking that one, so it just makes it convenient for me.
And that's just... Thanks for proving my point, David. We're doing good tonight.
Now, we are running low on time. You want to talk about blogging for a minute?
Well, let's go ahead, and since we're talking about failing and dying technologies, let's go ahead and touch on that one.
Well, blogs aren't necessarily dead yet. They're not, I don't think, at the peak they once were, but they're adapting and making a comeback, I think.
Well, let me just go ahead and jump on this then.
All right, go for it.
What we're looking at is, if you remember a couple years ago, we had something called LiveJournal, and we have Blogger. Now, yeah. As full disclosure, we host our website, or we host our podcast through Blogger.com. We host the actual content on a
Blogspot.
Different site.
Oh, Blogspot. We're on Blogspot.
We have it on Blogspot. Well, if you remember a couple years ago, everyone was web blogging. Everyone was journal. You have to have a journal. You have to have a web blog. You have to have a blog.
Right.
Now, for those of you who don't know, what a web journal is basically you take a diary and you post on it.
And share it with the world.
And you're posting it to the world. And so what it is it's a web blog. It's basically a blog, if you will, or a web log.
A web log is a blog, yeah.
And so they just worked it out to where it became a blog.
And then you got people on YouTube who do video logs. They call them vlogs. I don't like vlog. Blog is easy to say. Vlog sounds funny.
Vlog is a very interesting thing. If you want to have some free time and fun, go check that out on YouTube. You'll be freaked out by what some of these people have to say. Well, with LiveJournal and web blogs, one of the things that you remember is that people would just post it on that. That was the big thing. You post to your web blog, and you post up what you're thinking about. And you post about what you think is a common topic of the day, and your friends comment on it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the way I'm describing it, doesn't that sound an awful like Twitter, but shortened?
You mean lengthened? Because blog has no character limit. Yeah, so does. It does. You could say that Twitter is a hyper-condensed version of blogging.
And if you remember back, the people who were on blogs the most were the people who loved themselves. David, this is not a thing on you. If you think about everybody else about that.
Well, yeah, because just like with Twitter, some people blog about boring stuff.
They blog about how horrible their lives are. They blog about how bad off their left pinky toe is.
I can say, and this will be interesting to some of our listeners, most of my customers started out as blog subscribers to me.
Really?
They started out as they found my blog one way or another. They read it. They got into it. They're like, hey, I like this David guy. You know, what he has to say, how he thinks, something like that. Became a quote-unquote follower. And then when I said, hey, I came out with this product, I would mention it in my blog. They're already reading my blog. They already know what I'm about and what kind of content I talk about. And they go, yeah, I want that. That sounds interesting. I've already established a relationship with this guy. I want his product, and I've gotten the majority of sales have actually been through my blog. So I keep that up. I mean, I used to blog every day, and you know, about once, sometimes twice a day, and I had my highest readership at that point. But now I'm just, you know, I want to keep my ideas fresh and meaningful, and I get busy with other stuff. Now I blog, you know, a couple times a week. But I still
evolved.
Have.
You're Twittering now.
Well, yeah, I also Twitter, and I'm on Facebook, and I'm exploring Google Wave and all this other stuff, too. So I'm expanded. But, yeah, you know, and it's interesting because a lot of my blog friends have become Facebook friends, and a lot of Facebook friends have become blog fans. So it kind of interconnects. It's really neat how it all comes together, and they just kind of reinforce each other. And it's all marketing is building relationships with your customers.
Exactly.
The more effectively you can do that, the better you can be, the better your business will do, because people don't buy from companies. They buy from other people.
Wow, David, this is big stuff. Keep going.
So don't make your company too, what's the word, impersonal. Put yourself in there. Show who's behind this business. Connect you to them and say, this is my business, this is my product or service, this is what I'm doing, why I'm doing it. You know, why it's important. I could have done any business, and I picked this for a reason, and I'm passionate about it, and I want to make a difference, and I'm the best in the industry, and I have a better price than everyone else, and all this other, whatever your selling points are, share that, but don't do it in, like, you know, a self-promoting book. I don't know what you last heard, but...
Self-promoting book.
Yeah, so say who you are and what you're about, and connect with your customers. My philosophy is treat everyone as a friend. Everybody is automatically my friend if they want to be.
That's great.
I will respond and communicate with them that way. And it's amazing how many friends you make that way. The people who started out as customers and or blog readers ended up becoming close friends, where we actually hang out or talk on the phone if they live out of state, things like that. Hello, if any of you are listening. So... it's great, because then you're not only improving your business, but you're improving your personal life too. So always be honest. Share you. What makes your business different from all the other competitors is you. Show the people who's behind this product. And if you're a good person and you're honestly creating something of value, something worthwhile, people will sense that, and they will become your customer.
I don't think there's any other way we can end on this. You've been listening to the Small Business Podcast, and we're going to be talking about the other social media methodologies. We'll get into Facebook and some StumbleUpon, Dig, Reddit, YouTube, and LinkedIn and MySpace, and we'll discuss what you can do with those powerful tools next week on the Small Business Podcast. But until then, you can check out David by going – wait a minute. Yeah, going to
– SpiritualSmarts.com.
And you can check out Ranger Paint. So – you've been listening to the Small Business Podcast. You can check us out on the web at smallpod.blogspot.com. You can email us at smallbusinesspodcast@gmail.
name.com. Like we were talking about. What do you know?
And, yeah, it all comes full circle. And if you want to check us out on Facebook, because we've given up on MySpace, you can go and become a fan of ours by going to facebook.com/... Or searching for?
Searching for the Small Business Podcast and becoming our fan. We are still on MySpace, but I admit I haven't logged in a while, so.
Exactly.
You can still join us on MySpace. We just haven't done anything there.
We'll be your friend on there. Don't worry. Don't listen to David. We'll be on there. Don't worry.
I'm going to log in after this episode and see if anyone's requested to be our friend on MySpace. So if you've been waiting, you're about to be added.
So, until next week, I'm Daniel.
And I'm David.
Have a good week.
And as always, thanks for listening.